Okay, Asking to Give, Chapter 12 of Christ Object Lessons. And it says, Christ was continually receiving from the Father that he might communicate to us. The words which ye hear, he said, is not mine, but the Father's, which sent me, John 14:24. The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, Matthew 20:28. Not for himself, but for others. He lived and thought and prayed. From hours spent with God, he came forth morning by morning to bring the light of heaven to men. Daily, he received a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit. In the early hours of the new day, the Lord awakened him from his slumbers, and his soul and his lips were anointed with grace, that he might impart to others. His words were given him fresh from the heavenly courts, words that he might speak in season to the weary and oppressed. The Lord God hath given me, he said, the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. Isaiah 50:4. And that's something I learned about when it comes to waking up in the morning, that is. I don't remember where I saw it in the scriptures. I think it's in Psalms, where if you ask the Lord to wake you up at a specific time in the morning, he will do it exactly. And if you don't believe me, try it. I am not kidding you. I haven't used an alarm clock in years. I just, before I go to sleep, if I have to get up at 9 o'clock, he'll wake me up at 8:59. You know, that's, of course, besides the fact that sometimes he wakes me up at 4 a.m. just to pray, you know. But that doesn't happen as much as it used to. But and I kind of miss that. So, it's been sporadic, like maybe once or twice a week. But yeah, sometimes he just knows, like sometimes you don't even have to ask. Okay. So going on, it says, oh, what's this? Joel chapter 3. Proclaim ye among the Gentiles, prepare war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Okay. Amen and amen. So praise the Lord. But yeah, I don't remember where that one verse is, though. That something about, I remember seeing it years and years ago, and I just, well, if David can do it, I'm sure the people of God can do it. And so, continuing, Christ's disciples were much impressed by his prayers and by his habit of communion with God. One day, after a short absence from their Lord, they found him absorbed in supplication. Seeming unconscious of their presence, he continued praying aloud. The hearts of the disciples were deeply moved. As he ceased praying, they exclaimed, Lord, teach us to pray. In answer, Christ repeated the Lord's Prayer, as he had given it in the Sermon on the Mount. Then, in the parable, he illustrated the lesson he desired to teach them. Which of you, he said, shall have a friend, and shall go in unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine is in his journey, is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee, I say unto you. Though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Here Christ represents the petitioner as asking that he may give again. He must obtain the bread, else he cannot supply the necessities of a weary, belated wayfarer. Though his neighbor is unwilling to be troubled, he will not desist his pleading. His friend must be relieved. And at last, as importunity is rewarded, his wants are supplied. Kind of reminds me of the one woman that's going forward to the king constantly asking, or the old saying that goes, you know, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. So, she goes on, in like manner, the disciples were to seek blessings from God. In the feeding of the multitude and in the sermon on the bread from heaven, Christ had opened to them their work as his representatives. They were to give bread of life to the people. See, a lot of people miss the, you know, I want to say parabolic symbols, but it's actually parables and symbols. But the symbols and parable had a lot of prophetic utterances to them in a way that, the way they are symbolic in nature as well. I mean, like, okay, he wants 3 loaves of bread, of course, he wants to hear the scriptures. And so going on, he who appointed their work saw how often their faith would be tried. Often they would be thrown into unexpected positions and then realized their human insufficiency. Souls that were hungered for the bread of life would come to them, and they would feel themselves to be destitute and helpless. Sadly, this also reminds me of the book of Amos, where it says in the last days they're going to be running to and fro looking for the word of God, words of God, and not being able to find them. You know, because there's a lot of people out there that claim to be Christians, all right? And some of these people know you and me, us. And they know that we understand prophecy, because like when big crazy things happen in the world, don't they call you? Okay? And so they're dragging their feet. They're waiting till the last minute. They're not opening up their Bibles on a regular basis. And then when it really gets nuts out there and they really need Christ, yeah, they're sleeping. Yeah, amen. They can't find him. Or they're lukewarm. Kind of like what we were reading tonight in today's Sabbath, you know, the start of Sabbath from Sister White's testimonies to the church. It's especially after the plague start falling, they're really going to start looking for the words of God. They're never going to be able to find them because whoever's lost is going to stay lost. They're going to be looking to and fro. They're going to be coming up to people like you and me that they know understand prophecy and understand the scriptures, but everything we say to them is going to like come back as a foreign language. They're just not going to get it. They can't get it without the Spirit. And so she goes on to say that they must receive spiritual food or they would have nothing to impart. But they were not to turn one soul away unfed. Christ directs them to be to the source of supply. The man whose friend came to him for entertainment, even as the unseasonable hour of midnight, did not turn him away. He had nothing to set before him. But he went to one who had food and pressed his request until the neighbor supplied his need. And would not God, who had sent his servants to feed the hungry, supply their need for his own work? But the selfish neighbor in the parable does not represent the character of God. The lesson is drawn not by comparison but by contrast. A selfish man will grant an urgent request in order to rid himself of one who disturbs his rest. You know, he'll just give it to him just to shut him up. No compassion, no love, nothing. Just get out of here. Here, leave me alone. You know, that is not Christ-like. That's not how our Father works. She says, but God delights to give. He is full of compassion, and he longs to grant the requests of those who come unto him in faith. He gives to us that we may minister to others and thus become like himself. You know, that's why we're going through these trials and stuff, because we ain't there yet. So she says, Christ declares, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be open. Now, I don't know if this is just a happenstance of the English language, but notice this. A-S-K. Ask, seek, knock. A-S-K. Again, ask, seek, knock. The first letter in each word actually spells ask. I always thought that was kind of peculiar, but, you know, I'm not saying that's like a Bible code or anything like that. I don't believe in that stuff. But the thing is, amazing how it's like people can understand like certain aspects of the promises of our God. This is one of the reasons when we had the students here, when we were thinking that we should do the School of the Prophets right here in our home, when in fact the Lord says, after he told us no and revealed to us in a big way that we were not really doing it the right way, he says, you've been doing the School of the Prophets for years. Just continue on with what you're doing. And we got to, it's on the website now. There's like I think it's just New Testament, all the promises of God. And a lot of Christians will come up and say, "Yeah, I understand that promise, and I embrace it, and I accept it, and I trust it, and I know the Lord delivers because I've asked Him before on it before, and it's always been there whenever I needed it, and I prayed, and the Lord would give it." But other ones like this one, ask, seek, knock, like anything. Of course, you don't want to ask amiss, of course, but you still want to ask. And they seem to have, like, because I know this is how I was in the beginning. Okay, and there's a lot of things that I can, okay, fine. Thank you for the oxygen I'm breathing. That's a no-brainer, all right? Stuff like that, the easy things. I know that you protected me here. I know you protected me there. But, you know, asking for this, it's kind of like, okay, I'm pushing it. I'm going a little bit overboard here. And that's not how he works. Just ask him. And like the first time I saw in the scriptures where it says, try me on this, that of course was with the tithing, you know, because I really didn't understand the tithing thing until I started tithing. And then I saw how he blessed our finances. I thought, wow, okay. And then after that, you know, you start asking any kind of prayer, just trust him on it, because this, I don't know if I could put this in words. It's kind of like that truth that's something you can't preach kind of a thing, but he is not kidding when he says ask. Let's just put it that way. And he really does answer prayer. So she goes on, the Savior continues, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is, I like the way the Lord just kind of like keeps repeating this theology throughout the word. I mean, he says, come on. I mean, how hard is this to understand? If a son shall ask for bread of any of you that is a father, will you give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, because that's obvious, there's none of us are, there's none righteous, no, not one. We know that, so we're all evil. Okay? So praise the Lord for Christ, our righteousness. So even if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? In order to strengthen our confidence in God, she says, Christ teaches us to address him by a new name, a name entwined with the dearest associations of the human heart. That's a neat way of saying it. But she says, he gives us the privilege of calling the infinite God our Father. This name, spoken to him and of him, is a sign of our love and trust toward him, and a pledge of his regard and relationship to us. I mean, that word, Father, is overwhelmingly, I mean, it shows love and character right off right there. Boom. It says so much. That's why the Pope insists they call him Holy Father. Anything that points to the Heavenly Father and glorifies him in any way, shape, or form, Satan wants to take it and twist it and tear it up. And that's why the Pope does what he does, claims himself to be Holy Father, which in John chapter 17, I think it's around verse 11, Jesus calls his Father Holy Father. You see that one time in the Bible, and that's only attributed to the Father in heaven, but yet the Pope says he's Holy Father. Prophecy did say he'd blast that. I mean, that's one of the fruits of the Antichrist. He will blaspheme. So, going on. The other one, of course, is the confession, the confessional of the Catholic Church. The Bible also says if you act like you can forgive the sins of man, you're blaspheming God, because only God can do that. And sure enough, you can't get in the Catholic Church without walking past the confessional. So going on, spoken when asking his favor or blessing, it is as music in his ears, that we might not think it presumption to call him by his name. He has repeated again and again. He desires us to become familiar with this appellation. God regards us as his children. He has redeemed us out of the careless world and has chosen us to become members of the royal family, sons and daughters of the heavenly King. He invites us to trust in him with a trust deeper and stronger than that of a child in his earthly father. Parents love their children, but the love of God is larger, broader, deeper than human love can possibly be. It is immeasurable. Then if earthly parents know how to give good gifts to their children, how much more shall our Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Christ's lessons in regard to prayer should be carefully considered. There is a divine science in prayer. That's why, you know, years ago I did that one sermon on just about prayer. So there is a divine science in prayer, and his illustration brings to view principles that all need to understand. He shows what is the true spirit of prayer. He teaches the necessity of perseverance in presenting our requests to God. In other words, don't give up. And assures us of his willingness to hear and answer prayer. Our prayers are not to be a selfish asking, merely for our own benefit. You know, that's where it comes in, where you ask amiss. She goes on to say that we are to ask that we may give. Remember that. We are to ask that we may give. I'm going to write that one down. That's amazing. Let's just put that up there. Okay, let's see. COL 142. Okay. We are to ask that we may give. The principle of Christ's life must be the principle of our lives. For their sakes, he said, speaking of his disciples, I sanctify myself, or set myself apart for holy use. I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified. John 17:19. That, of course, is when he's praying. John chapter 17 is, all it is a prayer of Jesus Christ. If you want to learn how to pray, read that chapter. The same, she says, the same devotion, the same self-sacrifice, the same subjection to the claims of the Word of God that were manifested in Christ must be seen in His servants. Our mission to the world is not to serve or please ourselves. We are to glorify God by cooperating with Him to save sinners. We are to ask blessings from God that we may communicate to others. The capacity for receiving is preserved only by imparting. We cannot continue to receive heavenly treasure without communicating to those around us. In the parable, the petitioner was again and again repulsed, but he did not relinquish his purpose. So our prayers do not always seem to receive an immediate answer, but Christ teaches that we should not cease to pray. You know, I just keep getting reminded of this and about some big stuff that I was praying for years ago. And sometimes I stop. I'm guilty of this. You know, you have a tendency to just give up. You stop praying for it. But I'm not going to give up anymore. I'm just going to keep praying for this. Because I'd love, and it's to pray to give too. We ask so that we may give. I'd love to see like a small school or a big one. I don't care. But, you know, start off with a small school as well as a healing center. You know, we have the methods. We have the books. We have the means by which we can learn how to do this. It'd also be nice to get some people to do it too, but and the land. But going on, prayer is not to work any change in God. It is to bring us into harmony with God. When we make request of Him, He may see that it is necessary for us to search our hearts and repent of sin. Therefore, He takes us through test and trial. He brings us through humiliation, that we may see what hinders the working of His Holy Spirit through us. And I've noticed that a lot of times in my life, you know, I'll pray and I'll pray and I'll pray, and it just, the prayer's not getting answered. But at the same time, I'm being convicted left and right of this I'm doing wrong, that I'm doing wrong, this I'm doing wrong. And it's kind of like one of those V8 moments where you slap yourself on the forehead and says, okay, that's why that prayer's not getting answered. Because I'm not worthy of it. I'm not ready for it. I got to get back on track with my Father. So she says, there are conditions to the fulfillment of God's promises, and prayer can never take the place of duty. If you love me, Christ says, keep my commandments. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. John 14, verse 15 and 21. Those who bring their petitions to God claiming his promise will, or while they do not comply with the conditions, insult Jehovah. And how many of you, we've all seen that. I mean, I run into people on the street, you know, I prayed, this guy told me, he says, you know, I prayed for a whole 30 minutes one day. Nothing happened. Nothing happened. Oh, wow, 30 minutes, yeah. But yeah, see, they don't get it. He's drunk, he's smoking, he's swearing, he's watching porn, he's doing everything he feels like he wants to do in life, and he asks God, and he gets on his knees for 30 whole minutes. And God's supposed to move mountains and realize this man's serious? By their fruits. I mean, even the Lord knows by their fruits. I mean, but he can go right past the fruits and look right at the heart. Sister White says that they bring the name of Christ as their authority for the fulfillment of the promise. In other words, you have to answer this prayer because I mentioned your son, or I'm a Christian. So they bring the name of Christ as their authority for fulfillment of this promise, but they do not those things that would show faith in Christ and love for him. Many are forfeiting the condition of acceptance with the Father. We need to examine closely the deed of trust wherewith we approach God. If we are disobedient, we bring to the Lord a note to be cashed when we have not fulfilled the conditions that would make it payable to us. Again, we bring to the Lord a note or a check to be cashed when we have not fulfilled the conditions that would make it payable. In other words, you can't cash it. You bring a check to him, but you haven't done anything to fulfill that which would make it cashable, is what she's saying. She says, we present to God his promises and ask him to fulfill them, when by so doing we would dishonor his own name. In other words, we ask him this. She says, the promise is, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. John 15:7. And this is why I like to repeat over and over and over again to loved ones or strangers, or like the guys that were here with the concrete the other day. This is one of the main reasons I want you guys out of here by the time the sun goes down, is because I like having my prayers answered. I love it. I love being able to know that if I get on my knees and I got a loved one in danger or whatever, or even I'm in danger or whatever, I got to know that my Father's going to hear me. And I'm on good terms with him, and everything's going to go great. And if he says no, great, that's his plan. If he says yes, great, that's his plan. Whatever. So she says, and John declares, hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. That's 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 to 5. One of Christ's last commands to his disciples was, love one another as I have loved you. John 13:34. Do we obey this command, or are we indulging sharp, unchristlike traits of character? And I'm guilty of that sometimes. You know, you jump the gun. You want to blame others. You're thinking you know, even if they didn't do anything wrong. Or you just curse with some, you know, or short with somebody, or terse. What is that? It's not curse. I don't swear or nothing like that. I never do that. Is it terse? I think that's the word I'm looking for. You're short or rude. You know, but I used to have a real problem with that. She says, if we have in any way grieved or wounded others, it is our duty to confess our fault and seek for reconciliation. Amen to that. In other words, you don't want to be going to the communion without that. Kurt, there it is. Thanks, John, or Mary. Terse is using impolite words. Okay, thanks, Coran. So, she says, this is an essential preparation that we may come before God in faith to ask his blessing. Okay, let me, hold on. A lot of this stuff is gold. I mean, I had this little thing on my, desktop, these little notes, and, one of them is called, a sword and SOP gold, and this is part of it. It's good stuff. So I'm just cutting and pasting. Just give me a second here. It's the first time I ever read this book, and it's just loaded with good stuff. So she goes on. There is another matter too often neglected by those. Well, let me backtrack, because I like what she just said there. She says this. Let me backtrack a little bit more. This is love one another as I have loved you, what Jesus is saying there. And she goes on by ending it by saying, this is essential preparation that we may come before God in faith to ask his blessing. So if you're mean with others and not loving others as Christ loved you, then don't expect an answer in your prayer. You see, this is one of the things that stops your prayers. And sure, some of us, by our characters and stuff like that, may even be rude and not realize it. Ask the Lord to reveal to you if you are, in fact, because sometimes people will respond to you and say, you don't even catch what you're doing. Because I did that for years, and I still do it once in a while. I may say something, and people may think that I'm being rude. When I'm not, it's just the way I talk, you know. And so, you know, if the Lord could reveal a way to change the way I speak, maybe that would help. I know that would help, but I don't know if you could change the way you speak. I mean, your ability to communicate. So she says, there is another matter too often neglected by those who seek the Lord in prayer. Have you been honest with God? By the prophet Malachi, the Lord declares, even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances, and have not kept, them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed ye? Robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Malachi chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. And that goes on. I think that's going to go on until the eastern sky splits. There's always going to be a group of Christians that just don't get it there. I don't understand that, especially when it's one of those blessings that the Lord says that you can test them on. But this is why also I am convinced in my heart that the message hasn't gone as far as it has gone because some people just don't tithe. Or they'll tithe to like the SDA church or an FDA ministry, not realizing that they're actually tithing to government agencies. Whoa, eyebrows just shot clean off the forehead, huh? Well, a lot of people don't realize that a 501c3, as of March 7th, 2006, makes those churches and those governments ministries government agencies. I mean, that's the exact wording of the bill. They are now considered government agencies, and so they can't preach present truth by law. They cannot say the Pope is the Antichrist on a pulpit without, you know, a fine. Yeah, church and state. Hold on. Had a weird tickle going on here. So, but anyway, keep those brothers and sisters in prayer that don't understand this, because until they do, they're going to have problems in life for the rest of their life until they get it. Yeah, you know, because I know I did. I had many, especially financial problems, but even other problems, because if you don't tithe, you're not doing his will, so don't expect your prayers to get answered either. You know, especially if you know tithing is a command. So she says, as the giver of every blessing, God claims a certain portion of all we possess. This is his provision to sustain the preaching of the gospel. And by making this return to God, we are to show our appreciation of his gifts. But if we withhold from him that which is his own, how can we claim his blessing? If we are unfaithful stewards of earthly things, how can we expect him to entrust us with the things of heaven? It may be that here is the secret of an unanswered prayer. I should just continue the reading. Because that's more or less what I just said. It's like, it may be that here is the secret of unanswered prayer. In other words, this is why some people don't get their prayers answered, because they know, and they may try to lie to themselves, but the Lord knows when he reads their hearts. He knows, they know that 10% of their money, minimum. Now that's, well, she also said tithes and, the Lord also says tithes and offerings. And so he knows that, and they know, and he knows that they know, that they're not doing it. And so, herein lies the secret as to why their prayers are not answered. Yeah, I'll even put that on the tithe page, as a matter of fact. So, going on. But the Lord, in his great mercy, is ready to forgive. And he says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith. There's that test I was telling you about earlier. Right. Prove me now herewith, if I will not open your windows of heaven, open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall be not room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, and all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. That's Malachi chapter 3, verses 10 to 12. And I got to, you know, like the first time I did the tithing and saw how the Lord was doing this, I could not understand how 100% of my money could not pay all my bills, until I read in the scriptures that he says he'll rebuke the devourer, you know, the one that takes your money. and stops that which you're employed to do. And because when I started tithing and I only had 90% of my money, I was not only able to pay all my bills with 90%, now I had money left over at the end of the month. And the only reason I can figure is he stopped the devourer for my sake. In other words, the fridge didn't break down, the car didn't break down, or whatever. You know, those unexpected expenses that you get every month and you just can't make your bills. That is amazing how he does that. And that's the only thing I could see that he did, because from that day on, I've never had a problem with paying my bills, no matter how low some of these months go. You know, because I'm just, I'm full-time ministry now. And so no matter how low the income gets, we make it. So praise his name. So she says, so it is with every other one of God's requirements. All his gifts are promised on condition of obedience. God has a heaven full of blessings for those who will cooperate with him. All who obey him may, with confidence, claim the fulfillment of his promises. So there again is that another reason why some people's prayers aren't being answered. Okay, I just noticed it's after 11, and we're only halfway through this. What say ye, my brothers and sisters? Yeah, you will tithe one way or the other. Amen. See what John and Mary just put in there? That's a good way of putting it. One way or the other, that money is not going to be kept in that household. See, that's another thing I noticed too. You know, either it goes out the door to help, the gospel message, or you need a new transmission. So, okay, I got two people that say we should continue. There's three. Can I get a four? Okay, a foursome. A quorum? I don't know. How many will we need to have a quorum in here tonight? Because we got, 34? Oh, we had 34 families. Now we got 33. Where did I stop? I didn't stop yet. I'm on page, I'm just starting paragraph 2 of page 145. So, I think we can continue. It only goes to page 149, and these are tiny pages. So going on. And for those of you that may have popped in late, like on the radio and that, the reason we're going to be going over time here is because we had a lot of attacks today, and one of them, the last one, was a Trojan on the system. Instead of getting here at 9 o'clock like I usually do, I couldn't get in until 10:08 or 10:04 or something like that. So I was an hour late. So, but we're not going to go an hour over, I don't think. I think we got another, 30 minutes tops here. So going on. Page 145, paragraph 3 of Christ Objects Lessons, it says, but we must show a firm, undeviating trust in God. Often he delays to answer us in order to try our faith or test the genuineness of our desire. And that's something I always try to relate to the young in Christ. I call it my dry spots. It's kind of like what Moses went through on the mountain for 40 days, not hearing a peep from God. I mean, nothing, just sitting there growing hair. And then you get, Aaron and everybody else there, down there on the base of the mountain. They're both being tested in the same way. They don't have Moses for 40 days, and Moses doesn't have the Father or the Lord, for 40 days. And Aaron and everybody else failed every test, broke every commandment. Moses was firm. He stood firm. So she says, having asked according to his word, we should believe his promise and press our petitions with a determination that will not be denied. Okay? So I'm going to put this down in my little gold pile again, because this stuff here rings true for me, because there are so many amazing things I want to do for the Lord. But, we live on planet Earth. There's this thing that I really hate to talk about, and it's money. And I never, ever, 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 ever ask for money from a pulpit. Just won't happen. Unless, of course, I'm asking for someone else. I can't ask mankind. I can only ask the Father, because he'll ask the people. He'll do a better job at asking them than I can. So, so she says, God does not say, ask once and you shall receive. He bids us ask unwearingly, persistent prayer. The persistent asking brings the petitioner into a more earnest attitude and gives him an increased desire to receive the things for which he asks. Christ said to Martha at the grave of Lazarus, if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God, in John 11:40. But many have not a living faith. This is why they do not see more of the power of God. Their weakness is the result of their unbelief. They have more faith in their own working than in the working of God for them. They make themselves into their own keeping. They plan and devise, but pray little, and have a little real trust in God. They think they have faith, but it is only the impulse of the moment. Failing to realize their own need or God's willingness to give, they do not persevere in keeping their requests before the Lord. Our prayers are to be as earnest and persistent as was the petition of the needy friend who asked for the loaves at midnight. The more earnestly, and notice it too, by the way, midnight, okay, spiritually speaking or prophetically speaking, that's our day, okay. So this is talking about us. So at midnight, the more earnestly and steadfastly we ask, the closer will be our spiritual union with Christ. We shall receive increased blessings because we have increased faith. Our part is to pray and believe. Watch on to prayer. Watch and cooperate with the prayer-hearing God. Bear in mind that we are laborers together with God in 1 Corinthians 3:9. Our part is to pray and believe. Watch on to prayer. Watch and cooperate. I already said that. Yeah. The stuff's, well, hold on. Let me scroll it up. It's kind of like melding into one word there. All right. Speak and act in harmony with your prayers. It will make an infinite difference with you whether trial shall prove your faith to be genuine or show that your prayers are only a form. All right. When perplexities arise and difficulties confront you, look not for help to humanity. Trust all with God. The practice of telling our difficulties to others only makes us weak and brings no strength to them. It lays upon them the burden of our spiritual infirmities, which they cannot relieve. In other words, you're just wasting air. You know, you're telling them, get all these problems. That's another reason why I don't ask mankind. You know, they really can't do anything anyway. It's like even a millionaire. You can't get a millionaire to give you any, help. But, and 99% of the time, we're not praying for money. We don't pray for money. It's like faith, discernment, wisdom, stuff like that. And praise his name, he does give it. And, okay, going on, she says, we seek the strength of erring, finite man when we might have the strength of the unerring, infinite God. You need not to go to the ends of the earth for wisdom, for God is near. It is not the capabilities of you now possess or ever will have that will give you success. It is that which the Lord can do for you. We need to have far less confidence in what man can do and far more confidence in what God can do for every believing soul. He longs to have you reach after him by faith. He longs to have you expect great things from him. He longs to give you understanding in temporal as well as spiritual matters. He could sharpen the intellect. He can give tact and skill. Put your talents into the work. Ask God for wisdom, and it will be given you. Take the word of Christ as your assurance. Has he not invited you to come unto him? Never allow yourself to talk in a hopeless, discouraged way. If you do, you will lose much. By looking at appearances and complaining when difficulties and pressures come, you give evidence of a sickly, enfeebled faith. Talk and act as if your faith was invincible. The Lord is rich in resources. He owns the world. Look heavenward in faith. Look to him who has light and power and efficiency. There is a genuine faith of buoyancy, a steadfastness of principle, and fixedness of purpose that neither time nor toil can weaken. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Isaiah 40, verse 30 and 31. I remember years ago, that's a nice scripture song too, by the way. I remember hearing that the first time years ago in a scripture song. She says, there are many who long to help others, but they feel that they have no spiritual strength or light to impart. Let them present their petitions at the throne of grace, plead for the Holy Spirit. God stands back of every promise he has made. With your Bible in your hand, say, I have done as thou hast said. I present thy promise. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Oops, hold on a second here. All right. She says, we must not pray. We must not only pray in Christ's name, but by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. This explains what is meant, what it is said, that the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered, Romans 8:26. And by the way, those that believe that the Holy Spirit doesn't exist, explain that one. So going on, such prayer God delights to answer when with earnestness and intensity we breathe a prayer in the name of Christ. There is in that a very intensity, a pledge from God that he is about to answer our prayer, exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. That's Ephesians 3:20. Christ has said, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Mark 11, verse 24. Whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. John 14, 13. And the beloved John, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, speaks with great plainness and assurance. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. There's the key, according to his will. Don't ask him this. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Then press your petition to the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. God will honor that name. The rainbow round about the throne is an assurance that God is true, that in him is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. We have sinned against him and are undeserving of his favor. Yet he himself has put into our lips that most wonderful of pleas, do not abhor us for thy name's sake. Do not disgrace the throne of thy glory. Remember, break not thy covenant with us. Jeremiah 14:21. In other words, the promise you made or the testament. Either way. When we come to him confessing, she says, our unworthiness and sin. Oh, wait. When we come to him confessing our unworthiness and sin, he has pledged himself to give heed to our cry. The honor of his throne is staked for the fulfillment of his word unto us. In other words, he's glorified in a major way by the promises. I mean, it's obvious. A lot of people can back this up, too, that have been Christians for many, many years, about the promises, about how he is literally glorified by just saying, you know, the Lord says he'll do this in your life, and, well, about 30 years ago that happened to me here, and or 20 years ago that happened to me there, or 5 years ago that happened to me here, or whatever. And even a babe in Christ can echo such words. Because, you know, you don't have to be a Christian for 30 years to see his hand move. You can be a Christian for 30 seconds. So, like Aaron, she says, who symbolized Christ, our Savior bears the name of all his people on his heart in the holy place. You know, him being one of the high priests. Our great high priest remembers all the words by which he has encouraged us to trust. He is ever mindful of his covenant. All who seek of him shall find. All who knock will have the door open to them. The excuse will not be made, trouble me not. The door is closed. I do not wish to open it. Never will one be told, I cannot help you. See, that's the difference between our father and that lazy neighbor. She says, those who beg at midnight for loaves to feed the hungry souls will be successful. And I'm going to put that in my gold pile there. Because we are at midnight, we are begging for that bread, which is the word that utters truth unto those hungry souls out there that need to hear what we understand as basic truth. She says, in the parable, he who asks bread for the stranger receives as many as he needeth. And in what measure will God impart to us that we may impart to others? According to the measure of the gift of Christ, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7, that's a good way to answer it. According to the measure of the gift of Christ. I mean, all the way to the point of him dying on a cross. Angels, she says, are watching with intense interest to see how man is dealing with his fellow men. When they see one manifest Christ-like sympathy for the erring, they press to his side and bring to his remembrance the words to speak that will be as bread of life to the soul. So God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory of Christ Jesus. Philippians 4 verse 19. Your testimony and its genuineness and reality, he will make powerful in the power of life, of the life to come. The word of the Lord will be in your mouth as truth and righteousness. Amen and amen and amen. Another one of those gold ones. So she says, personal effort for others should be preceded by much secret prayer, for it requires great wisdom to understand the science of saving souls. Before communicating with men, commune with Christ. At the throne of heavenly grace, obtain a preparation for ministering to the people. Let your heart break for the longing it has for God, for the living God. The life of Christ has shown what humanity can do by being partaker of the divine nature. All that Christ received from God, we too may have. Ain't that nice? Amen and amen. Then ask and receive. I mean, there's just nothing stopping him. He wants to give that all, and he's done that. I mean, especially when that latter rain starts falling. If we're worthy receptacles of that rain, oh, this stuff is going to be like easy to remember what we read here tonight. She says, with the persevering faith of Jacob, with the unyielding persistence of Elijah, claim for yourself all that God has promised. Let the glorious conceptions of God possess your mind. Let your life be knit by hidden links to the life of Jesus. He who commanded the light to shine out of darkness is willing to shine in your heart, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit will take the things of God and show them unto you, conveying them as a living power into the obedient heart. Christ will lead you to the threshold of the infinite. You may behold the glory beyond the veil and reveal to men the sufficiency of him who ever liveth to make intercession for us. And I cannot understand why people don't think this woman's a prophet. I mean, that, and besides all those extra biblical statements that she made that are coming true today in the last 30, 40, 50 years, 100 years, it's amazing. It's just, it's such a blessing to read these words sometimes, the way the Lord gives her utterance like that. So amen and amen and amen. Okay, see, Christ Object Lessons next week is going to be the 8th. So hope and pray that you were blessed by what you heard.